4. Grace is going to be helping to read the verses for me and in between, and she's going to be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. So when she's reading, then you can follow along in your King James. There'll be a little bit of variations in the words, but not too much. But you'll see why I want her to read it in this version. So Psalm 34, this psalm in verse 8, it says,
"Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man."
Oh, shall we start over? It is on. Okay. Try it again.
All right. Psalm 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him."
All right. You can see in your versions that it's "taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Right? Trusteth? Okay, this is the word we're going to be talking about today. And there are actually two main Hebrew words for the word trust. The first one is this word here that's pronounced kasah. And it means to take refuge or seek refuge. That's how come when she was reading that, it said take refuge. The other word is, I'm just going to talk about really briefly, it's pronounced batak. And it's where you have confidence and assurance, like we were singing about, blessed assurance, right? It's when you've proved God and you've proved that you can rely upon him in everything. And so it's easy to trust. You have a confidence. You just walk in confidence. So that's that second word. But the one that we're really going to look at today is the first one I was talking about, to take refuge. Because I believe that this word describes the kind of trust that we need to have when we have problems, when we have things that are not so easy, and when we need to have a way to go to God and to lay our troubles before him and to find the answers that we need. And so it's really an interesting word, and you can say that it means to flee for protection in some ways. You seek a refuge. And in times of stress and insecurity, trials, we have to realize that God is greater than us. That's the reason why we can trust. If you go to find refuge in some place, like say there's a cave, and I'm going to show you some pictures later on, but say you go find refuge from a storm in a cave. It's because the cave is going to shelter you. And it's bigger than you are. So God is bigger than our troubles, our problems, all the things that we wrestle with every day. Everything from small things to big things. We're not talking about having to, like, only trusting God or only seeking refuge when we lose our job or some major trial happens in our life. This is something that we have to do every day. And so I think you're going to be blessed to look at it. Let's look at Psalm 18. This is a psalm that David wrote when he was delivered from the hand of Saul and from all his enemies, and he finally had rest in his life. So verse 2.
"The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold."
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. See the King James word strength there is really the word rock. This is talking about the mighty rock, the huge cliff that has the place of refuge. So that's why the ASV was translating that there, "in whom I will take refuge." There's a wonderful definition in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. That's the old original Webster's Dictionary. And I kind of paraphrased it a little bit, but this word for trust, he says, "it's a firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of another." The integrity, the ability, and the character of another. Now we're talking about trusting in God, right? So he has a lot of integrity. He has a lot of ability and a lot of character. So those are some of the things that we are going to be looking at today. Look, flip over to verse 30. This whole psalm is really wonderful, so you can read it sometime, but verse 30 is great too.
This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him.
The word of the Lord proves true. That is awesome. That's an awesome way to say this. Because when we were learning about these things, it's not enough to just, you know, have somebody sit up here and go, oh, isn't this great? We should just trust God. But what about, like, in our day-by-day-by-day application? That's what we need to have. We need to see that the word proves true. That if I trust him, no matter what it is, if I have to seek for refuge and I have to flee, I have to go there, I have to make my mind change in some fashion, the word of the Lord proves true. It really does. And we prove it out in our lives. We prove out that all these promises that we're going to be reading today about trusting the Lord, you know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. Well, I want to be blessed. Do you? Yeah. Okay. Good. Psalm 11. This psalm, we're going to actually read the whole psalm because I think it's very interesting. It's only 7 verses. But it has, in the first 3 verses in Psalm 11, it has some of the temptations and the things that people will whisper in your ear and say, well, really, I don't know about you trusting in God because look at all these things that are going on.
Psalm 11.
1-3.
In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Okay, the first thing David says is, in the Lord put I my trust. Period. Okay, we made a statement. I'm going to trust you, God. And then the people come and they say, ah, but you should flee to the mountain. Flee, O bird, to the mountain. You should just run away from your problems. You know, don't deal with them. They're too big. And then verse 2, the next thing people say is, lo, the wicked bend their bow and they've already made ready. And all these things are going to happen that are coming about. You know, you can't do anything about them. The economy, the stuff going on with your job, your boss, all these things. The wicked are making ready their bow. They've got it pulled back and they're ready to shoot the arrow at you. Uh-oh. See, just there's all these things that other people say. There's no answers for you. You should just figure it out yourself. The attack is too great. See what it says? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The whole foundation of your life is being destroyed. What are you going to do about it? You're just one little person. Who cares? Those kind of things, see? Those are all the stuff that goes on in our lives just because we live in this crazy world. Right? I mean, this is real stuff. This is the stuff that David went through, but this is the stuff that everybody goes through all the time. That little whisper of like, well, you should just go figure it out yourself. Because, after all, you know, there's really nothing you can do about all this. Okay, let's see what David says. Verse 4-7.
The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face.
I love that last verse. The upright shall behold his face. The reason why we don't have to try to figure it out ourselves and we can really do this kind of trusting in the midst of any kind of problem, small or big, is because the Lord is in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven, and His eyes see. That's the name of Jehovah that's called Jehovah Jireh, or Yireh is how you pronounce it in Hebrew. But it's the Lord sees. And when the Lord sees, He always provides. It's the first time it's used is when Abraham was taking Isaac up to the mountain and was going to sacrifice him. And then, you know, the angel stays his hand right before he's going to kill his own son. And then He provides a ram in the thicket. There's the ram. Here's the substitution. And that whole big lesson about how Abraham received his son back to him as from being raised from the dead is the picture of Jesus Christ. And so, but when it says the Lord sees, he not only sees, like, oh yeah, there's Vicky, she has a bunch of problems. Okay, well, I'm just going to watch. It's not that. It's He sees because He's going to provide. And when He sees, then there's always that provision there. He will pour out His protection, and He will be the one that will deal with the wicked. See the verses 5 and 6 when He's talking about how the wicked, He will rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The wicked always think that they're going to win, but they don't. The adversary still thinks that he's going to win. And as many trials as he's going to throw at us, he thinks he'll win, but he doesn't. I'm going to read something later. This is a really cool book. It's called, it's just a commentary on the Psalms by Vernon McGee. He wrote a whole series of Through the Bible, and he has all kinds of wonderful little stories and things in here. But he made a comment on this section. He says, God is not a lovey-dovey sentimental old gentleman from Georgia. He's not. He's got it figured out, and he's got the adversary's number. And in our day-by-day lives, it's like part of this provision is a clearing of the way. It's pushing things aside. When we're seeking refuge with God, He sees. He sees what we need, and He goes ahead and helps us to take care of it. I had a really interesting thing happen to me and this past week where I had to have my teeth done, this procedure, and I was really not very happy about going there. And I didn't know what to expect, and I was very, very nervous, okay? So the cool part was the whole time that they're sticking these shots in and doing this drilling and all this stuff kind of gives you the creeps even saying it, right? But I'm thinking, trusting God. Jan, you're teaching on trusting in God, so you better start practicing this. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter how small the problem is. You know, there's nothing you can do. You're sitting here in this chair, and they are going to stick that needle in your mouth. So what are you going to do? You've got a choice. Are you going to trust God that He's going to take care of it or not? And so I just, that idea of fleeing for refuge was like fleeing into God's arms so He could take care of me. And He did. And Grace has a story, too.
So this is a very small, but it made a big impact in my week. I am finishing up my fall semester at San Diego State, and one of the classes I'm taking is the study of aging through contemporary society. And so we have to write a big research paper.
Yeah, what are you going to do with all those old people?
Well, I chose to write on the perspective of aging through the Bible. And so the problem is I have to have 5 resources that are, none of them can be the internet, any website. So in my day and time, that is like unheard of. I have not had to do one research paper that has excluded the internet thus far. So, and thankfully we have access to a very large database. And so I spent quite a large amount of my time searching for a book or an article, something that specifically dealt with biblical perspective on aging. And I spent about 2 hours looking for something. And I found one book called The Perspective of Aging Through the Eyes of the Bible. And the problem was that it's not at San Diego State. It was up at Biola University. And so I requested it, but it said it would take over 10 days to get to me. And this was last week, and I had to write the paper this weekend. I'm on a timeline, and those of you who know me know that if I have a spot for something that has to get done, it has to get done then. Because that's just how my mind thinks, how I be productive. So I'm like, okay, God, this book is supposed to be here in 10 days. I don't have 10 days. This paper has to be done this weekend. And so I just prayed about it. I waited, and there's nothing I can do about it. I just have to let go. And I was at the library last week meeting with another class, and I get an email from the library saying, hey, guess what? Your book's here. Come and get it. And that was, it only took 2 or 3 days to get there. So it was in perfect timing, and this book is such a blessing. It's basically my paper and a book. So I'm so thankful to have that resource, and I just thank God because it came 7 days sooner than it should have. So
that's a really good example of something small. See, God sees, but then he provides. It's not just like looking at, oh, yeah, Grace, you need a book. Oh, good. But see, the temptation would come in to go, what am I going to do? I'll have to figure out something else. I don't know, right? And get all stressed out. But the purpose of fleeing for refuge or this kind of trust is that when you know that something, someone, some power is greater than you, then you can go to it. So there are actually 4 pictures, and we're going to be playing some songs in between when I'm talking about these pictures. There's 4 pictures that the word trust relates to. The first one is the rock. The second one is under the shadow of his wings. The third one is the shield, or shield and buckler. And the fourth one is the right hand. And you've all read a lot of these verses before. But I think that you can see why these illustrations are picked in the Psalms to show how you can seek refuge is because of the type of object it is. So the first thing we're talking about is a rock, Psalm 61. Now I just talked a little bit about the rock before. It's not, you know, just a little pebble, but it's a gigantic cliff. When we went to Mount Zion a couple years ago, there were these natural caves that are formed in the sides of the rocks, the huge rocks there. And that's the picture that I have when I read this word rock, how the Lord is a rock. It's something so stable, so firm, so mighty that you just look at it and go, wow. That you can't compare your own little puny strength to the strength of the rock. That's how we're supposed to look at it. So, verses 2 and 3.
Psalm 61, 2 and 3. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy.
Okay, the neat part about this word trust is that not only can we be the ones that seek refuge, but we can actually pray to God to lead us to the rock, where he will take our hand. You will see this later too. He will take our hand and he will actually lead us to the place of refuge. So you don't even have to figure out where the place of refuge is. You just know that if you go to him, then he will take you there. So I want to play this song that's called Lead Me to the Rock, and it's based on these two verses. When my heart is overwhelmed, you know, Grace was reading, when my heart is faint. I've been there lots and lots of times when my heart was faint. So this can be our prayer, that we would find shelter and safety underneath the shadow of the rock. So you can read along with the words on your paper. The cool thing about the rock is higher than I.
When my heart is overwhelmed, hear my cry, give heed to my prayer. And my eyes are dim with tears, oh Father, make them clear. From the ends of all the earth, when my heart is fainting, let me know that you have heard. Lead me into safety.
In prayer, and we just yield our hearts to the Lord God, then He will lead us to that rock that's higher than I. He will lead us to that place of safety. So next time you need safety, you need shelter, you need some kind of security, then think about the picture of the rock. Like, that's where you can seek refuge. So the second picture is under the shadow of His wings, which we've talked about a lot of times with going to the secret place from Psalm 25, you know. But I want to look at another one. It's in Psalm 36, verse 7. Under the shadow of His wings. Psalm 36, verse 7.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
Okay, the picture of the wings are of like an eagle's wings, you know, where the baby birds can get sheltered under the wing if the storm comes and things like that. But what I see when you look at all the verses about the shadow of his wings is that it has to do with God's loving kindness, or as the ESV says, a steadfast love. It's when you need love and you need comfort and healing, those kinds of things, that you can't find yourself. It's the time when you're discouraged, not just faint-hearted, but really crying out for being accepted or wanted, those kinds of things. And that it's the shadow of his wings, we can go to refuge under the shadow of his wings, and that's the thing that's higher, right? It's the thing that's bigger than us, is that God's steadfast love is totally constant. It never fails. It's always there. He never removes it. There's never a time where we can't have it. That's really amazing. Psalm 57, verse 1. So because of the loving kindness of God, then we can not only seek refuge in there, but when we rely upon it, see, remember, because of his character, we can have a reliance or trust on God because of his character. Well, his character is all love. So Psalm 57, verse 1.
Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by.
Until these calamities be overpassed. So how long do we have to flee for refuge or take refuge under the shadow of his wings? Until they go past, right? I want to read you this story from here. It's really good. It says, years ago down south, a black deacon got up and gave a testimony about a verse of scripture that was meaningful to him. He said the verse was, "It came to pass." Everyone looked puzzled. So the preacher said to him, "How is it that that particular verse means so much to you?" "Well," the deacon said, "when I'm in trouble, I always get my Bible and read, 'It came to pass.' And I thank God that my troubles came to pass and they did not come to stay." That may not be the exact interpretation of those words, but it expresses the truth of the scripture. And that is exactly what Psalm 25 is saying. Redeem, O Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Because it came to pass. Passed. Okay? So that's how long we're supposed to stay under the shadow of his wings. I don't know about you, but I always just kind of thought, oh, that's a really neat picture of, you know, go under the shadow of God's wings. But somehow when my troubles were there, then I wasn't under the wings anymore. You know? What happened to the wings? Where are they? Okay, so that's our job. God's job is the love and care. So this song is by a group called Hillsong. They're out of Australia, and it's called Trust in You. The reason also why we can trust God is because he's always faithful. God in the shadow of your wings. I mean, Sal has that really beautiful song about the shadow of your wings, too. And actually, there are a lot of songs about the shadow of your wings. But I think now you get a little bit richer picture of what that is. It's just really abiding in God's love. And the thing also then, when we're really abiding in God's love and we stay under His wings like that, and that's the place where you finally just get quiet. And like I just felt Grace next to me here just kind of going, oh, yeah, okay, I can finally lay down all these thoughts, all the worries, all the fretting, all the stuff. And that's the place where we can listen. So we're going to have manifestations in a little bit here, but I want to have you listen to another song that's sung by Sheila Lawrence. She's a believer in Illinois, a really beautiful believer, and her voice is wonderful. This is a song that I think Point of Grace did at one point. It's called In the Calm. It's in the calm of your presence I am listening, Lord. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours. Let your word speak to me and let your peace draw near, and I will obey the truth that I hear. So when we have manifestations, it's not just, oh, here we go again. You know, we're just going to hear a word from God. Like, it's nothing. It's everything. And that's why I wanted to do it in the middle and not just at the beginning. Because I think that our hearts are prepared now. You know, we've heard His word and we're quiet inside, and that's when you can hear. So if you want to look at the words, you can, but otherwise you can just close your eyes and listen to her sing this really beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. I am listening, Lord. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours.
Know today, my little ones, that you are mine. And I am yours. I will never leave your side. So have no fear in your heart in any category, for I am greater. I am more powerful. And my heart is for you to be free, for you to be delivered, and for you to worship me, your God, your Father, because I love you.
Shelby, will you have a word of prophecy?
Truly, I have called you to be my very own. So I want you to stop worrying. I want you to stop condemning yourself for things you've done or might not have done in the past. I want you to stop worrying about what's going to happen in the future. I want you to focus your attention on right now and all that I've made available for you to be right now. I want you to realize how much I love you at this very moment, right now. And I want you to take my hand and let me guide you in the direction that you need to go.